Well, good morning. Can we just give God praise today for his resurrection King? So glad that you have joined us today. My name is Sheldon Miles. I'm the lead pastor of this great church. Man, what a great crowd we have on this Easter Sunday. We're so glad that you've taken the time to celebrate Resurrection Sunday with us today. And I want to wish all of you a great Resurrection Day. Jesus is alive. Amen. You know, I was preparing for this message, I was just kind of looking for some resurrection stories. And there's some pretty amazing stories that are out there. For instance, in 2014, there was a 91-year-old woman in Poland, and she shocked everybody because she's declared dead and she's placed in a body bag. And she is literally, she's in the morgue refrigerator for 11 hours. And they take her body out, and they're just about to embalm her, and all of a sudden they see movement in the bag. And this 91-year-old lady arose after 11 hours. In 2014, a 78-year-old man, Walter Williams, was found alive kicking inside his body bag. And just as the staff was preparing to embalm his body, he arose from the dead. In 2008, a 59-year-old woman named Velma Thomas, this one is thought to be the world record for the longest time being clinically dead before coming back to life. She suffered a massive heart attack at the age of, again, 59. She was declared clinically dead for over 17 hours. And just as they were removing the life support from her, and they were just about to start the procedure to donate her organs, she woke up and it became alive. But those are some amazing stories, but I'm going to tell you today, there is none that compare to the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus died a horrific death, a Roman crucifixion. He was placed in a tomb, and miraculously he rose again 3 days later. Jesus went from death to life. Death to life. There's a research done by Lifeway Research, and they said roughly two-thirds of the people that would be in this room, they really believe in the accounts of the physical death and the life of Jesus Christ, that he really did rise from the grave. But my question is, do people really understand this? Are you here today and you're just kind of wondering, okay, I get it. Jesus died on the cross, and he rose again and came to life, but do I really understand the significance of what it means for my life? In John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus makes this proclamation about himself. And it might get some people scratching their head a little bit. They said, Jesus said about himself, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Not only would he do this for himself, not only would he rise from the dead, but he's also looking out into the future, looking at you and saying, this same resurrection that happened to me, it can happen for you. What is resurrection? What does that mean? We throw around that word on the Easter day, but resurrection, really, what does that mean? It means to take what is dead and to bring it back to life, to transform it back to life. And so we have this tree that's represented life today, represents life, and this is you. This is your physical state right here. I'm looking around the room. Some of you might look a little on the edge here, but I see people who are alive today, and this is you, and you're gonna get up out of the service today, and you're going to rejoice, and you're going to go off and spend time with family and celebrate Resurrection Sunday. So you're alive. You're alive. There's a spirit inside of you that is alive. But then there's some people who they transition into that next phase of death. Your spirit, that death is where your spirit leaves the body. The body stays here, and we all know that it decays, and if you've ever been to a funeral and you've seen a casket, it's them, but it's not them. It's their body. And it will go to the grave, and it will decay. It dies. And that's what Jesus did for us. Jesus came, and he died on the cross, experienced death, but he came back to life. Death, that's what the resurrection is all about. He brings dead things back to life. And no one in all of history has come from death back to life like Jesus. I want to examine the story a little bit. We're going to kind of back up here to Good Friday, if we will. Hopefully you got the chance to just recognize and celebrate and remember what Jesus did for us on that Good Friday. Romans 5:8, the Apostle Paul tells us, but God demonstrates his love for you in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Jesus, who took his living body and he took it to the cross and he died for you. But do we really understand? As you came in today, you received a nail. If you just kind of hold up that nail today, the nail is going to represent the death of Jesus. If I could just talk about that here for just a moment. I know that you know this story, but do we really grasp what it means? The cross that Jesus died on, and I refer to the cross up there, was the cruelest form of punishment in the Roman world. It was reserved for the worst of all sinners. You see, the Romans, they had experimented in capital punishment. And what they were looking for is they wanted to find a form of death that was public humiliation. And they wanted people to, the victim, they wanted him to experience the maximum amount of pain for the maximum amount of time. It was cruel. It was vicious. And they wanted to communicate a message. They would have a public grandstand of the event, and their message was, don't mess with Rome. See, Roman crucifixion consisted of many things. It started off with the Roman guards, and they found the most vicious and vile of all Roman guards. And people just had chips on their shoulders. They had anger issues, and they would get these soldiers, and they would have their time with the victim, and there would be a beating. They would mock him, and they would punch him, and they would pull at his beard. They would spit on him. They wanted to make a mockery of Jesus. But and then they would take the victim into this scourging post, and it's the most terriblest thing you've ever seen. If you ever seen the movie The Passion of the Christ, you see the viciousness of it. And they would take a whip, and it would have 9 tails to this, and at the end of the tail would be this lead ball that would begin to break into the flesh, and there would be metal pieces, and they would just whip that victim tied to a post up to 39 times, and it was just vicious. Just that alone sometimes would kill the victim. But then if the victim was still alive, they would then put a cross, a heavy beam on his shoulders, and they would make him walk through the city of Jerusalem, and it would be like a parade, a mockery, if you will, and people would spit at him and mock him and make fun of him as he's walking to this place called Golgotha. Everybody say Golgotha. Golgotha was this big hill that was outside the city of Jerusalem. And Golgotha literally means the place of the skull. Literally, it just means it's the place where people go to die. And some say it was even a garbage dump that was there. And the history, not only the Bible, but history tells us that they would lay the victim down upon that cross that he had just carried, and they would take nails, and these nails here are what, maybe 1.5 inches, 2 inches long, but they would take nails like this, and six to eight inches long, and they would spread out the arms of the victim on this cross and just spreading them out as far as they can, and they wouldn't nail it into the palm, but they would nail it into the wrist because they needed the body to stick on the cross, and then they would cross the victim's legs, and they put his feet together, and they take one of those long nails and drive it right through the nails of that person, and then they would lift up the cross and they would plant it into the ground. And part of it not only was the death by humiliation; they would humiliate him by tearing off all of his robes, and there he was, naked before all of the world in humiliation, but literally it was death by suffocation. The victim had to literally, he could breathe in, but he had, and either to breathe out, he had to pull himself up. And remember, he had just been beaten, his back just torn to pieces. And so he's on that rugged cross, and the agony of pulling himself up, and the nails in the arms and the feet, it was just massive amount of pain every time he pulled up. It was torturous death by suffocation. Some victims, they say, would last for days in that state. Jesus lasted for 6 hours until he's up on that cross, and he looked out to the crowd, but to all mankind, and he declared, "It is finished." And he gave up his spirit, and he entered death. He entered death. And to assure the death, the Romans, they just wanted to make sure that he was dead, and they took a spear. They thought he was dead for sure. And I don't know if it was for sport or whatever, but they took a spear and they put it into his side to seal the deal, if you will. Later that day, a wealthy follower of Jesus, Joseph of Arimathea, requested Jesus' body. And he took down the body from that cross, and he put him into his own tomb, an empty tomb. And back in those days, if you were very wealthy, they would literally dig these tombs out of these rocks. And they put his body in there. He wrapped him in linen, and they put him into the grave. And then they would seal the tomb with a large stone, literally impossible to move again. Let us never forget. Can we just hold the nail? And say, "Lord, help me never forget what you did for me. Never forget." But then we move to the next phase, the resurrection. Remember, the resurrection is, I came from death into life. 3 days later, 3 days later, the leading priests went to see Pilate, and they said, "We remember Jesus once saying that while he was still alive, after 3 days, he will rise from the dead." So these religious leaders, they're remembering everything that he said, and they want to make sure that 3 days later, this Jesus guy does not show up again. And so they requested that a seal be put on that stone, a Roman seal, and that if anybody broke that seal, well, then they're going against the Roman government, and they would suffer the same consequences as Jesus. And then and to also have assurance there, they put Roman guards to make sure nobody comes and takes his body. Nobody. The next morning, though, the Bible says that there was a violent earthquake that struck the ground, and an angel of the Lord, it came and rolled back the stone, and he sat upon it. And it says that the Roman guards were like, can you just imagine being there, being one of the Roman guards, and you see these angels, and they're like, what's happening? And they were so terrified, and they took off. Without knowing what had happened, the Bible says that Mary Magdalene and the mother of Mary went to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body with spices, which was customary at the time. And when they arrived, they saw that the stone has been rolled away. What's going on here? And they were really afraid. And an angel appeared and says, "Why are you crying?" And they said, "Somebody has come and taken the body away." And the angel responded, "Don't be alarmed. Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, he isn't there. He's risen." He's risen from the dead. He went from death to life. He's resurrected. He's resurrected. And then he says, "Mary, go tell the other disciples. Go tell them what is happening." And so Mary hurried and she ran to the disciples. She goes, "Guys, you're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe Jesus is not in the tomb. It's just like he said. He said this. He said it. It was said it was going to happen, and he's not there." And Peter and John, one of the disciples, like, "All right, I got to see this. You know, like, something could be wrong here." And they just wanted to seal the deal on this. And so they run to the tomb. And when they got there, they looked into the tomb, and sure enough, Jesus was not there. What's going on? That evening, the disciples were gathered together, and at that moment, Jesus suddenly appears into the room. That would be mind-boggling. because we just saw you die a very horrific death just 3 days ago. And you were dead. And now you're standing in front of us today. And Jesus said, peace be with you. And he says, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. And it says that when he breathed upon them and they received the Holy Spirit. I just want to put a pause on this message here for just a second. It was at that moment, you've heard of that phrase, born again, right? Born again. It was at that moment that something, that God placed his Holy Spirit inside of these disciples and they became born again. Well, one of the disciples, Thomas, remember that? Remember doubting Thomas? Thomas was not there when Jesus appeared. And he insisted, hey, guys, I don't know what's going on here, but unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Time out. Could that be you this morning? You ever been to that place in your faith journey? Until, like, Jesus is right in my face. Say the words of Thomas, I will not believe. I will not believe. Well, Jesus has a way of bringing dead belief back to life. Because 1 week later, Jesus appeared again. And he looked at Thomas and he said, Thomas, put your finger here in my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. And he said to Thomas, and maybe he's saying that to you today, stop doubting and believe. It was true. Jesus was not dead. He had risen from the dead. He was alive. And this changed everything. It not only changed everything for the disciples in that world, but listen to me, because he is alive, it changes everything for you. Changes everything. Why are we making such a big deal about the service today, Easter service? Because it changes everything. Jesus, the scriptures record that Jesus kept reappearing to the disciples 13 different times. One time, Jesus appeared to a crowd of over 500 people, and they were not blown away. They're like, oh, yeah, that's Jesus. I can't believe it. I mean, I was there. I was there that time that he died on the cross. They're like, yes, 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 over 500 people. And during Jesus' appearance, he would say to his disciples, listen, listen, listen. You've got to take this message, this resurrection message, this good news message, that people can come from death to life, not only in the physical being, but in the spiritual being. And so his resurrection dramatically changed the lives of the disciples. Can you just imagine? Can you just imagine following Jesus for over 3 years? Seeing him die on a cross, can you just imagine that it would change your life? I know it would change mine. And scriptures and even history tells us that it changed these fearful disciples. It changed them into this courageous crusaders. History tells us that each and every one of his disciples was martyred for their faith. Can I ask you today, would you gladly die for a lie? Would you gladly? I mean, it's like, oh yeah, I'll be martyred for something I know is not true. But each one of these disciples was martyred for their day. So my question is for you today on this Resurrection Sunday, if all of these disciples would lay down their lives to proclaim Jesus, why would they do it if it never happened? However, if the cross is truly empty today, then so is the tomb, and it changes everything. This morning, I want to talk to you briefly here about what is so significant about the resurrection. You see, if the resurrection happened, then Jesus is alive. He's alive, and he is alive today, and that changes everything. Here's four important things for us to remember on this Easter Sunday. First of all, if Jesus rose from the dead, then Jesus is who he says he is. He is who he says he is. The resurrection confirms Jesus is who he said he was. He is and was, he was and is the Son of God. The resurrection proves that Jesus has power over life and death. He holds the power of life and death. You see, the ultimate punishment, listen to me, the ultimate punishment for all of our sins, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Each and every one of us deserves death. That is the price that we pay. But Jesus came and he took power over death so that we can have this life. You see, one of the most profound claims, listen, this is going to bother some. Every time you read this scripture and passage, it is bothersome to some people. But I'm telling you, if Jesus is alive, then you have to claim this verse. This is John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. There's three declarations that he's making. This is so profound here. Jesus is saying, first of all, I am the way. The way means like a natural path, a road. Okay, so we got Grand Avenue out in front. It is the way to get downtown, if you will. It is the way. And I want you, and Jesus is saying that he's not a way to God. He is the way to God. Let me just say that one more time. Jesus is saying, Jesus is not just, you know, one of many ways to get to God. Jesus is saying, no, there's only one way. And I am the way. Jesus was very definitive. I'm the only way to God. And this is the reason why this is so controversial, because a lot of people is like, well, I'll make my own way to God. Are there some people who might say, well, there's many roads that lead to heaven. But Jesus says, I am the only way to God. He says, not only am I the way, but I am the truth. You see, Jesus claims to be the substantial foundation of all of reality. Since the beginning of time, all of mankind has been searching for the answer to the question, what is truth? What is truth? And if you've ever taken philosophy in college, you just learn all of these incredible ideas, but they're like all over the place. You know, no, this is truth. And you got these philosophers saying, this is truth. And like, no, this is truth. And no, this is truth. And Jesus, no. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I'm the truth that you are looking for. You're not going to find it in all of mankind. I am the way, the truth. And then he says, I am the life. And in this reference, he's saying that I am the deity as the Son of God. He was proclaiming that he was at the beginning of time. And he is the source of all life. He is the only hope that you have to obtain eternal life. Can you see why this scripture passage is so controversial? Because it's hard for us to say. We want to say there's many ways. There's many truths. There's different ways. Jesus is, the resurrection is significant because he is who he says he is. Number two, Jesus did what he said that he would do. Matthew 16:21, while Jesus was on earth, he prophesied to his disciples. He prophesied, hey, guys, this is what I'm going to do. So just so you know, so you're not surprised, he said, from then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day, he would be raised from the dead to life. You see, Jesus was clearly on a mission. And here at Thrive Church, we call that mission the mission of life change, because that's what he wants to do. You see, he came to on a mission to save us from our sin. Understand this. Mankind's biggest issue, trouble, struggle, whatever you, is not disease, it's not nuclear war, it's not climate change. Whatever you think it might be, It's probably not that. Mankind's biggest need, the whole reason Jesus went to the cross, went through this whole process, is because of my sin issue and your sin issue. The whole cross, the whole resurrection is all about saving man from the consequences of our sin issue. What is sin? Sin, I define it as this. It's any action, attitude, where we are walking in disobedience with God. And I just believe that he put it within us to understand when we're not walking in relationship with God. I used to be a chaplain, and I would deal with a lot of people who are at end-of-life stages, and I would ask so many people, wherever they were in their faith journey, I would always ask the question, have you ever made peace with God? And 9 out of 10 times, I never had to explain that to people. They always knew. They knew always knew what I was saying. So can I just stop this morning? Can I ask you, have you ever made your peace with God? Have you ever made your peace with God? So again, it's any sin action, attitude where we disobey God, where we lie, we steal, we lust to pride, we lash out in anger, we use God's name in vain, it's all sin. And I don't know about you, but I can't help myself. I do that stuff, and I probably do it too much. And Scripture tells me, it's like, this road, it leads to death. Not only physical death, but I'm going to experience spiritual death because of the concept. That's why this is so important. And the only way to escape this penalty of death is somebody has to pay a ransom. Can you just say ransom? Ransom. So a ransom is the debt that is owed for a crime that's committed. Let me say it one time. It's a ransom. And for each and every one of us, there's a ransom that is due. There's a price that has to be paid. And if somebody doesn't pay that price for you, you have to pay that price. Mark 10:45 confirms that. Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a," to give his life as a, as a ransom, as a ransom for many. Again, a ransom is a payment made for the release of a prisoner. And so understand, what was Jesus' mission? Well, this was his mission. His mission was to come to earth as a man and pay the ransom for the debt of your sin. It's all about you. The ransom of all mankind could only be paid by the Son of God. Think about that. All of the sins of all mankind, it's got to be a pretty big person. And it doesn't get much bigger than the Son of God. And he is the only one who could pay the price for you, for me, for all mankind. It could not be paid by your money, your good deeds, or anything like that. It had the price of the ransom is death. And Jesus, listen to me, Jesus willingly laid down. Can you just hold that cross or the nail again? Jesus willingly paid the price for your ransom. And while he was suffering on the cross, Jesus, he said a couple of statements, but one of the statements that he made, he looked out and he looked out into the crowd and he looked out to all mankind. He is looking out to each and every one of us today. And he said the words, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing." Jesus was declaring is that I am the ransom. I'm paying the price for your sins. Father, forgive them. Release the debt that is owed to them. He was looking at you. I want you to know this morning, we all have a sin problem. And Jesus is the only hope for your sin problem. There's not in a million lifetimes could you make up for the sin that you've committed. Jesus paid the price. So the resurrection, why is it so significant? Why are we making a big deal about it today? Well, it declares that Jesus is who he says he is. Number two, Jesus did what he said he would do. And number three, Jesus can do what he says that he can do. I want you to know, because he's alive today and he is the Son of God, he can do today what his Father does. He does the same thing. John 15, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does." So all right. Whatever God does, the Son does. Well, yeah, because he's the Son of God. What does that mean? Well, like Like his father, just like his father, Jesus is a life giver. Look at your neighbor and say, Jesus is a life giver. He's a life giver. Listen, Jesus was there at the beginning of time. He was there before you were even born. Jesus knew you before you were conceived. He was there at the moment of conception. He was there at the moment you were born. He gives this thing called life more abundantly. How many of you ever heard of that phrase before? You know what life more abundantly means? It's like it's in Jesus that he gives you peace in the middle of storms, of battles. He gives this thing called joy. He gives this thing called hope. And all of us, we're trying to find all these things in the world, and we just never find it. It's never fulfilling, but it's in Jesus that you find life more abundantly, the hope, the joy, the fulfillment that you're looking for. And then he says, I give you eternally life. For when your body goes to the grave, your spirit goes to eternal life. To Jesus, this is all about life change. Life change. He redeems your past. How many of you said amen to that? I love this. And 2 Corinthians 5:17. Paul says, anyone, do I have anyone's out there? If you are an anyone, will you raise your hand? If you're just anyone, raise your hand. If anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, the old is gone, a new life has begun. And I don't know about you, but there's been times I had to go to God and say, God, I don't like the person that I am any longer. I need you to change me, to change my heart, to change my thoughts, to change my pride. Lord, will you change me? And that's what he redeems my past. The old is gone, the new has come. That means I'm forgiven. I no longer am who I used to be. Oh, I know some of you, and I know your stories. And you tell me of the stories of old, I'm like, I don't believe you. No way, no way, no way. There's just no way. And you're like, no, I was in that place. That's because our God redeems, Jesus redeems. You see, Jesus takes dead things and he brings them back to life. He not only does that, but he gives me peace for my present. Jesus said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and peace of heart, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled, don't be afraid. Jesus, you know what he does? He changes our life status. Remember, I've just been using this illustration. I can't use it enough. Jesus takes what is dead and he brings it back to life. How many of you ever heard that song, Amazing Grace? Amazing. I think everybody has. Played in funerals all the time. Do you really grasp what that song is talking about? First of all, it's this gift, grace. That's what grace is. It's a gift, and you can't pay for it. You can't redeem it yourself. It's a gift from God, and it's truly amazing, because what does it say in that song? What does it say? That he saved a wretch like me. And I once was lost, right? Right. I once was lost, but I'm now what? Come on, help me out here. I'm now found. I was once blind, but now I see. I was once a sinner, but now I'm a saint. The scripture says that I was a spiritual slave, but now I have freedom. I was once an enemy of God, and now I'm a child of God. I moved from hopelessness to full of hope. I moved from death to life. I want you to know Jesus wants to change your present, but he also provides hope for your future. And I think this is one of the most impactful scriptures of all the Bible, John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. You've heard it all before. But he says, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son, Jesus, so that everyone who believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. You see, Jesus' resurrection means I can have hope for a future beyond death. a future of eternal life with God for those who believe. And it's all through Jesus' resurrection. Through Jesus' resurrection, you too can have resurrection. You see, when I die, it will only be my body that dies, but I will be resurrected with Jesus. Dead to life. Am I beating this too hard here? Are you getting the point? Dead to life. Believe in him. What is the requirement? Jesus says to believe in him. Now, just time out here. Like, people are like, oh, wait a second. Okay, I'll make that two-thirds that you talked about earlier, like, who believe Jesus existed. I believe. Boom, I'm in. No. That's not what it was talking about back then. The context is when you believed in somebody, you went all in. Everybody say all in. You go all in. Your heart, your soul, mind, strength. In fact, that's what Jesus says is the greatest commandment, is to love Jesus all in. Love Jesus all in. So if the resurrection is significant, it's because Jesus is who he says he is. Jesus did what he said he would do, and Jesus can do what he says he can do. And finally, why the resurrection is so important is because what we do with Jesus matters. Boy, just if I could just have your focus here, but what you do with this risen Jesus, it matters today. Back in the day, I used to be a youth pastor, okay? I used to be a youth pastor, and I was with our youth group. I used to live in Ohio, and it was, we were in our hometown, and we were heading back from this event that we went through, and I'm like, hey, guys, I know a shortcut. Famous last words, right? I know a shortcut. And so, like, hey, this will get us onto the highway. We'll get home sooner. Your parents will be happy. I'll be happy. Let's be happy. So we're driving down this road, and we see this sign. No through traffic, road closed ahead. How many of you have like, yeah, right. I look it out, it doesn't look that bad to me. And like, no through traffic. You know, it's like, okay, we might go through a few bumps here and there, but we can get through this little deal. All right. So we get down the road, and all is fine. All of a sudden, another sign, more gates. No, seriously, it doesn't say this, but it's like saying, no, seriously, no through traffic, because like, the road is closed up ahead. I don't see anything. They're probably finishing up on the other side. It's dark out. Nobody's going to see us. We keep traveling. But sure enough, yeah, it's getting a little bit more bumpier here. And our teenager's like, you're going to regret this. That there's nothing worse than teenagers reminding you that you shouldn't be doing something you know you shouldn't be doing, right? So they're like, you shouldn't be doing this. You'll be doing this. And all of a sudden, you know, it's dark out. And we come up, and like, there's lots of lights, and there's a really big sign. Road closed, bridge out ahead. Yeah. So I had a decision to make. And my decision is how many of you guys remember the Dukes of Hazzard? Okay. I could have pulled a Dukes of Hazzard and like, woo-hoo! Yeah, probably wouldn't have went so well. Or I could swallow my pride. I can confess that I went the wrong way. I can turn around and I can go back. And that's what Jesus calls for us today. Because he's saying to so many of you, so many of you are here today, this is where you're going, man. Like, the road is closed. Don't go there. Some of you feel it right now. No, it's bridge is out. Don't do it. You can't make it. Jesus said, turn around. This is where the life is. You know what this word is called? This whole turnaround, this whole scenario? I'm giving it to you today. It's called repentance. Repentance. It's when you acknowledge, Lord, I confess to you, I've went the wrong way. I don't know where you are in your faith journey today, but maybe that's exactly what you need to do on this Resurrection Sunday. That, man, you just feel like this is my pathway. When I desire this, maybe you're here today and you just say, right where you're at, say, God, I've been going down the wrong road. I confess that I'm a sinner. I confess what you did for me on the cross, and I acknowledge that you rose again so that I can live in that freedom. Lord, right now, will you transition me from death to life? Lord, I want to have that abundant life that your word talks about. Not only that abundant life, that peace, that joy, that happiness here in this life, but I want to have life with you more abundantly in heaven. I choose today to make you the Lord and Savior of my life. I choose today to live for you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I'm telling you that right there is why we get so happy about resurrection. You see, what you've just, if you just prayed that prayer, God has just placed his Holy Spirit inside of you. Welcome to the world of life change. He changes the way you think, the way you act, the way you feel, the person that you are. Life change. Just say that right now. Life change. Just say, Holy Spirit, change me. Change me. Jesus says this in John 5:24. He says, I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. And they will never be condemned for their sins, but they will have already passed from death to life. Amen. 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 As you came in today, we gave you a gift. A reminder. Oh, please, 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 please don't ever forget the price Jesus paid for your sins on a cross. Don't ever forget. Put this in some place. And so now as you leave, we talked about death, but as you leave, we have another gift for you. As you walk out the doors, it's a little plant. Life. Life. Oh, thank you, Lord, for this life. Because he has taken us from death to life. And if you've received his life today, I just encourage you to just take this plant and maybe put the nail right there. And Jesus, you have taken me from death to life, and put it at some place where you will remember, maybe in front of the sink or somewhere on the shelf. And each and every day you remember, from death to life, death to life. No longer am I bound by sin, the chains of death. Amen. Amen. Can we just give God praise for the resurrection of Jesus?